Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. The Reverend Dr. Ross Johnson is preaching.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter. And Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judah to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." And the man believed the word of God and that Jesus spoke to him, and he went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told them that his son was recovering. So he asked them when the hour had begun for him to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that it was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all the household. This is now the second sign that Jesus did when he came from Judah to Galilee. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And Savior Jesus Christ. The theme for our gospel lesson today is that God uses our troubled times to draw us closer to himself. In today's gospel reading, we read about the second miracle that Jesus performed in Galilee. His first miracle was turning water to wine at the wedding at Cana. One of the politicians in the area had a child who was in the process of dying. No doubt, he probably had money to take care of this with the best doctors. But there's nothing that this world could have done. Out of desperation, the politician went to Jesus for help. It's also a reminder to many of us that the person that we should go to first of all in our life is Christ. But so often when life gets in the way of what we want and we're in a crisis, we look to our own wisdom instead of Christ. And so often when our marriage comes to a point of crisis and we're scared that our spouse might leave us, that we start to pray for mercy and help. It's so often when we feel like our job might be in jeopardy that we start to feel like we need to turn to God for help. It's so often that when we find out our loved one is sick or there's a tragedy that hits one of our loved one's health or that someone in our family has cancer, that we start to cry to God for help. John doesn't record the exact reason why the politician's son was ill. However, we do see how God was able to use this child's illness to draw the parents closer to himself. And the politician and his family ultimately became believers in Christ. I remember many years ago that when people would quote Romans chapter 8, verse 28, I would just roll my eyes. If someone would die, or if someone would lose their job, or if their investments tanked, people or a nice church person would say with a big smile, "The Bible says we know that God works all things for the good of those who love him." I used to think that Romans 8:28 was shallow, or it's just something that Christians would say. But after many years of studying, after a lot of wisdom and maturity, I now discovered that Romans 8:28 wasn't shallow. I was shallow. In fact, Romans 8:28, that God works all things for the good of those who love him, is profound. When your child is actively dying or there's a health crisis in your family, Romans 8:28 makes a lot of sense. When you feel like you might be losing the security of your income and you're starting to feel desperate about your economic future, Romans 8:28 brings a lot of comfort. When you and your loved ones feel like this economy is out of control and we don't know what's going to happen to the future of our country, Romans 8:28 brings a lot of comfort that God works all things for the good of those who love him. See, you can either throw your hands up in the air and act like an atheist and say, God doesn't care about me and my family. Or you can look to your Lord and Savior in a time of need. You see, the politician in our gospel lesson, he went to God in his time of need because this world and the wisdom of this world couldn't save his family. Only God could save his child. And it was through this horrible, gut-wrenching situation and trauma that this man went through that he turned to God and his whole household was saved. And they became followers of Christ. When we look back, I can't believe that it's been almost 2 full years since January of 2020 that we started hearing about this whole COVID crisis and pandemic. And for many Americans, they have experienced sickness and death of their loved ones. And most economists are saying that we're only starting to feel the effects of the lockdown and our future economy. And there is a lot of uncertainty about inflation and what will happen in our economy in 2022 or in 2023 or in 2024. But the good news is that God knows the future. God knows you. God knows what you need. God is taking care of you and your family during these uncertain times. And it's great to know that God is all-powerful, even when you feel powerless. Over the coming months of uncertainty due to COVID and the economic changes that our country will be feeling, I feel that Psalm chapter 73 will be a great comfort to us as Christians. Psalm chapter 73, verse 26 says, "My flesh and my heart might fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Let me read that one more time. It says, "My flesh and my heart might fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." You see, there might be times in your life when with your health or with your job or with your marriage or with your personal finances that might seem absolutely overwhelming. But the psalmist said, even though it might feel like your heart is failing, like you're going through a heart attack from the stress in your life, the writer of the psalm, he finds his ultimate comfort that God is with him despite what he is going through and feeling. From our gospel lesson, we can learn at least a few different things. The first is that in times of worry and stress, in times that we feel hopeless from our earthly eyes, we can and we should turn to Christ. The politician in his child's health, it was something that was outside of his control. His only real option in life was to turn to Jesus. Jesus gives you a peace that surpasses all understanding during stressful and terrible times in this life. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm paranoid about what the future of the stock market is or that I'm all doom and gloom. If anything, I am usually overly optimistic. Sometimes my wife tells me I am annoyingly optimistic. But in a spiritual sense, God can also use possible crises that we are facing now or in the future for the good of those who love him. God has used 2020. God is using 2021, and God will continue to use 2022 and 2023 and COVID in this big mess to strengthen you and your families and your marriages, to strengthen your relationships, as you learn to rely more on God and less on your own smarts and your own career and your own savings to try to navigate this life. My prayer, though, is that God will continue to build up his church, not just numerically, but spiritually, as people see their value and worth, it's not in their retirement planning, but rather it's in the fact that they're precious. They're precious because Jesus gave up his precious blood on the cross to forgive you and to have a relationship with you. It's something that money can't buy, that your health can't take away from you. As we've all heard, the saying goes that the only two guarantees in life are death and taxes. As a pastor, I can't promise you what the future of gas prices will be or what inflation will look like. I can't promise you how the stock market is going to react or how the real estate market is going to react next year or next decade. In reality, the only thing I can promise you is Christ and his love for you and his forgiveness for you and that God will be with you and there for you as you go through the ups and downs of this world. St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, he wrote, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, and that endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." As I said, the truth is, I can't promise you anything in the future but God's love and forgiveness. But isn't that exactly what you need to survive in these uncertain times? Now may this grace, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ, who is this world's only Lord and Savior. Amen.